strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Advent, Trust in God's Grace. Today's message is based on Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, Malachi 3, 1, and Galatians 3, 1 through 9. But let us open with prayer. Father, all-powerful and ever-loving God, we do well always and everywhere to give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. When he humbled himself to come among us as long ago and opened for us the way to salvation. Now we watch for the day, hoping that the salvation promised us will be ours when Christ our Lord will again come in his glory. Amen. So now let us turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 40, starting in verse 3. The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill be brought low. The crooked places will be made straight, the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So we are in the Advent season leading up to Christmas. Advent officially began last Sunday with the Hope Sunday. And I struggled with scripture selections that will keep our path to the coming birth of Christ, for that is the purpose of Advent. My attempt is to focus on the Old Testament predictions and prophecies of the coming Christ, then continue in Galatians and insert or relate these messages with the purpose of Advent. We get so wrapped up in the festivities of the season, we often forget the purpose. Just whose Advent are we expecting? We must always keep our focus on Christ as a child in a stable, as a man teaching on a hillside, as one suffering on a cross, and as our Savior in His glory at the right hand of God. Jesus is all of this and more. For all of this, He deserves our attention and preparation. So let's begin this Advent lesson. We start with a very familiar verse from Isaiah, "Prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God." As believers, we relate this very specifically to John the Baptist, for it parallels the life of John as well as the purpose of John. John the Baptist came not to call attention to himself, but to one far greater than he. And as we read chapter 40 in Isaiah, we find an entire chapter set aside to comfort the people of that day. So why would they need comfort? Well, they have been threatened by the Assyrians, and now the Babylonians were beginning their move to conquer Judah. Isaiah, as well as other peoples of that time and prophets, have been prophesying grave and disastrous consequences for the people due to their irreverence and disobedience to God. The prophet spoke plainly that destruction was on its way if the people did not repent and return to God. The word repent is a real sticking point for many of us. We are often reluctant to even say, "I'm sorry," when we admit to being wrong. But to repent, to truly repent, somehow we feel is not necessary, for we are all good people. The purpose of Advent is for us to recognize our faults as sin and to prepare ourselves to face the King. So what is different for us in this day? Are we a reverent people? Do we as a nation serve God fully? Are we totally unselfish and caring for others? Or are we today every bit as bad, if not worse, than the people of Judah at that time? There were solid believers of God in Judah, but they were few, and they did not have the influence to change the way the nation was going. And just as today there are many who claim to be Christian, but do they all adhere in faith to all the teachings of Christ and then live as if they truly believed? So God directs Isaiah to write of future promises to comfort the people, and that is from where we draw these verses. John the Baptist called the people to the wilderness to hear his message and be baptized. The people had to make an effort to come closer to God. John didn't make house calls, but the people had to physically seek God in the most unusual of places. Not the temple courtyard or on a football stadium, but to go out to an inconvenient place to find God. Today we are a people of convenience. We expect everything to be brought to us. News in a box that speaks. Entertainment we can carry in our pocket. Food delivered in mere moments. But are we willing to make an effort to seek God? And in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low and the crooked paths made straight. This speaks of an event so grand that it cannot be imagined. Today we have huge earth movers and heavy equipment, but in Isaiah's day they had very crude shovels and picks. To literally move a mountain was beyond comprehension. Even with our modern stuff, we cannot begin to do this. We are only able to make paths and spots. But these verses call for a complete and total revision of the landscape. To achieve what is in these verses, will require a mighty and divine act. We don't propose to level the whole world physically, but rather to change the attitudes of people in just as total and complete a way. And we conclude this brief passage with the prophet declaring, "It is not his human voice, but that the glory of the Lord has revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. To God no man has ever seen will be revealed. All of humanity will have the opportunity to be with God." The very mouth of God speaks these words. They are absolutely true. We know of the virgin birth, the shepherds, and the angels praising God. We know that these early promises have come true. Now we wait for the latter promises. This is the truth of Christmas. We also have a very similar verse from the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, in chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." This verse echoes Isaiah and Micah. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." So let us focus this morning on the two M words in this verse, my and me. This states that God will send his messenger, the my here being God. The messenger will go before me, being God. But what it doesn't say specifically is that God will come in the form of a human, yet will still be God. The me here is Jesus as God and Jesus as human, something that couldn't be comprehended then and not even really today. Seems more like a fairy tale than fact. This is the mystery of God. Not that we are not able to fully understand, but we must rely on faith to carry us over the gaps in human knowledge. This me who is coming will suddenly come to his temple. The temples where Jesus would go numerous times, but of importance is the word suddenly. The Messiah will come suddenly, unexpectedly, and we must be prepared. The physical temple no longer exists, but the world as a whole is really the temple of God, and we are in it, and Jesus came for us to the world. When Jesus was born, was there a welcoming committee? Where was the welcome wagon for Mary? We must take time to fully understand that Jesus came unexpectedly. And even though the Jews had been waiting impatiently for over 700 years, when Jesus first appeared in the temple, was he greeted with fanfare or was he questioned? Remember, it was of a 12-year-old boy who befuddled the best teachers of the day, and yet they did not recognize him. What is certain is that when he comes again, he will be recognized, not by all at first, but by the believers, few, not numerous. Will you be one who recognizes Jesus and be found acceptable to him? And we conclude this brief examination with, "Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord." The title messenger of the covenant is a very specific Masonic term, and the one who will initiate the period of the new covenant. Micah here attributes to one who makes this proclamation as the Lord of hosts. And this is the same as hear the word of the Lord. When should we expect Jesus? We celebrate December 25th, but yet we know that is not the exact date. Jesus came in a totally unexpected way to a people who were not prepared. Our call today is to be prepared for his coming, both in our hearts as we prepare for this Christmas season and for his coming in body and spirit to take us home. Now let's turn to the New Testament and Galatians 3 and verses 1 through 9. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it all by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing in Abraham. Now, Paul begins chapter 3 of his letter to the Galatians with almost an insult. Well, it really was an insult. To call someone foolish was not to question their intelligence, but rather how they used their intelligence or lack of wisdom. The background for this is that those people who had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul and had accepted it totally and completely, then false teachers, the Judaizers, came and seemingly were convincing them that they had to obey all the Jewish laws and regulations before they could come to Christ. So Paul restates the gospel in Jesus Christ as clearly portrayed among you as he crucified. The language here is interesting if you go back to the Greek that Paul used in writing this. The word here used as portrayed, Paul used the language as displayed on a poster or an announcement. The Christ crucified was made the center of the message that leads to salvation, boldly that it could not be confused. But now the Jews had changed the gospel to the people, and they tried to follow in the steps of Abraham. And from verse 3, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Is the core of the gospel message in question form? This is the ongoing battle of salvation by faith or salvation by works, or even worse, a combination of both. Paul's argument is that the Galatians had achieved salvation through their belief in the gospel before they had even heard of the works required by Judaism. Why backslide? The whole reason for Christ was because humanity had clearly demonstrated they were unable to strictly adhere to the law. They had failed because of sinful nature, of selfishness, and of greed. Christ came back to save us through belief and faith, and not that we adhere to a list of regulations. To fall back to this is to deny Christ. Now Abraham enters the discussion. Jews did then and still believe they are God's chosen simply because they are descended from Abraham. To convert to being a Jew, you would have to do special works to make up the difference. Even the Jews depended on the works of the law to cement their place as God's chosen. But Paul clearly makes a point that even Abraham didn't follow the law of Moses and all the regulations of the rabbis, because they didn't exist at the time of Abraham. Favor was found, just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul pulls this thought from Genesis chapter 12 and 15, where God makes his covenant with Abraham and credits Abraham with his belief and faith, and not any adherence to rules or regulations. Humans need some rules to avoid calamity, but even the best-intended rules and laws are ignored by criminals and those of evil hearts. To change this world, we have to work through the heart and not by compiling more rules. For over 4,000 years, we have failed to follow 10 simple rules. Why can you believe that by adding thousands more to this list that humanity will improve? To further counter the Judaizers and their insistence on the following of the law, Paul tells the Galatians, "Therefore know that only those who are of a faith are sons of Abraham." So how many people do you know have had wonderful parents but led difficult lives? Blood and flesh do not make us behave in any specific way. We should have the benefit of the parents, both parents, their example and their instruction. But this thing called free will still comes in. It is our behavior and actions and belief and faith that will endear us to God and not just who our parents are. By believing the gospel as scripturally presented, we become children of God. God never intended that only Jews would ever find salvation. It was his plan all along. And Paul continues, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you and all nations shall be blessed." By following the example of Abraham, his trust, his faith, and his dependence on God, all peoples, all nations will receive blessings. This is not a statement that all will be blessed, but that all will have the opportunity to receive these blessings through their faith in God of Abraham and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. God's creation was universal and not just of limited scope. Early Jews believed that the Gentiles were created simply to be fuel for the fires of hell. And understand that God created all of humanity with love and care. We should never set limits on just who God loves, for he loves all. Not just you and me, or people who look and act like us. But understand that the creation was good, with death not involved, until we became selfish and self-seeking. We are all a part of God's creation, not just a sliver of it, and God's is our all to have the opportunity for salvation. So today we recognize the Advent elements of hope and love. We heard from two prophets that promise a future with God of comfort and peace. We have the hope that God was to send and has sent a Savior for us. We have the love of God that was willing to physically come to earth, not to bring any recognition for him, but for our benefit. It has been human nature to find ways to limit God to what we are able to comprehend. But God is far greater than that. God fully understands our limitations in understanding, for he created us. So God, in his infinite wisdom, sent us tools for life to guide and lead us. God sent us his holy word that we can seek him, but not attempt to define him. God sent his only begotten Son that we can firsthand experience God himself and the total and absolute love of God that he has for us. So on this Hope and Love Sunday, know that God always provided for us, is providing for us, and will provide for us, that we shall always have hope, no matter how dark it seems. It is through the great love of God that this is possible. We can do nothing to earn our salvation but believe. So Advent, trusting God's grace, is the basis of our faith. Through our belief, God will alleviate all our concerns, doubts, and fears. This is the reason for Advent and for Christmas. Advent is for us to prepare ourselves, but shouldn't we always be prepared? Yes, we should, but we need reminders. The celebration of Christmas is the fulfillment of this hope and love, that God in earthly form comes to us, to find us, to lead us, and to provide an example for us that he knows we will have difficulty with on our own. This Christmas season, know you are loved and share the light of Jesus Christ with all. Believe God the Father will strengthen you. Jesus Christ is coming, Lord, will show us the way, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be enabled. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a text and video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
Lord.